Our next storyteller is a person that can make anybody look fabulous. She's a portrait photographer, largely, and believe me, she can make anybody look fabulous. But this was not probably her childhood dream, I'm just guessing here. But she was very big on childhood dreams, and although she wasn't sure she could have the dreams that she wanted to make sure that her younger siblings could. And although she now lives in Westport, she started off somewhere much further away. Please welcome Suzanne Sheridan.
Thank you. Well, my mother had six children, and therefore, so did my father. I was one of them. Actually, let's go through it. There was my mom and dad, my brother Jimmy. Then I was born a year and a half to the day after he was born, so I was a year and a half younger. Then my sister Patty came. And Patty was born 3 years after me. My sister Tina, who was 5 years after me. Then there was this big pause that refreshes. And then my two last sisters came. Lori was born 14 years after myself, and my sister Karen was born 2 years after that, 16 years. So because, well, my parents were born somewhere else. My dad was born in Palermo, Sicily, and my mother was born second generation Irish, and they both met in this really cool exotic place called the Bronx. And they, each of them, had to leave their home of residence due to potatoes and the mafia. But after they left, they had this really cool big family, and I was part of a big family. And being the oldest girl, my brother was useless. I mean, we all loved to sing, and everybody had a good time in the house, but Mom was always didn't feel good all the time. So I got to play Mommy when she wasn't feeling well. And that happened a lot. So when I was growing up, I was the second mother, and therefore my name was Muzi, so they would call me Muzi. When Karen would call me Muzi. And this story takes place about the time when I was, well, Karen was 3 and Lori was 5, and I was like 17 or 18, and just about ready to go off to college. So every now and then, when my parents, they had to leave the house eventually, so when they did, I was left in charge. Because remember, I told you my brother was useless. And, you know, we had a very strict family, though. Irish, Sicilian, Catholic. You know, they were good people, sturdy. There were a lot of rules in the house, though. You know, first, you could never walk into the living room with your shoes on, okay? You could never go to bed later than 8:30, even when Bozo the Clown was on. You could not go out to a dance as a teenager and come back later than 10 o'clock. The prom, it was 11, but that was an unusual circumstance. So it was a fairly strict environment. And when they left for the evening, I tried to give them a little space, my younger sisters. And so one of the things we liked to do together on these unusual occurrences when my parents left the house was to create concoctions. Concoctions is defined as anything that normally you wouldn't be allowed to put together in one place. And so we would go to the kitchen, and each of them, Karen, you have to go to the cupboard, and Lori, you have to go to the other cupboard, and I'll go in the refrigerator. And each of them would bring out things that we potentially might use for our concoction. So we'd go in together and look in the refrigerator. Ham. No. Let's see, what's there? Strawberry jelly, yes, big check. Okay, what else? Maraschino cherries, that could be interesting. Okay, what else? Marshmallows, chocolate sprinkles, yeah. Oh, how about chocolate ice cream? Yeah, that sounds good. And you put the whole thing in the blender. Oh, don't forget the food coloring, because we love that blue food coloring. That was really fun. So they say, okay, Moosey, let's go make the concoction. Put a little ice in it, throw it all in. Okay. Concoction. Who's going to eat it first? Well, we drew straws. But anyway, that was one of the fun things we liked to do. And the second was that, as you can imagine, having a large family, there were eight of us all around the kitchen table. And my dad would come home at 5:15, change his clothes. We'd all sit down, all eight of us, at the kitchen table for Micah. We lived on Long Island. And so, you know, food would come out, and then everybody would say, okay, what did you do today? And this was a very important part of our culture, because you had to have your butt in that chair at 5:30. No ifs, ands, or buts about it, because, you know, it was sacrosanct time for the family. In a way, it's kind of a good thing. And so when they were gone, I would say to Karen, who was the youngest and had the least amount of resistance to anything I would say, so Karen, stand up on the chair there, honey, and just get up on the kitchen table. Get up on the kitchen table. Now, I don't know about you, but being Catholic, that's got to be either a mortal or a venial sin. I'm not sure which. I was like, mortal sounds like you're going to die, but venial, I don't know. It was one or the other. So Karen would get up on the kitchen table. She's five and adorable, right? I'll say, tell us, Karen, what you're going to do when you become president of the United States.
Well, I'm going to play all day, and I'm not going to let anybody tell me what to do, and all kids can play and be free.
Because, you know, being president back then, you had some power. And so she would get up there and say, what else? What else? Come on, think of something nice for other people, too.
Oh, yeah, there'd be world peace and everything.
And the more she got into it, the bigger her ideas got. And finally, you know, I knew that she had reached the culmination of her speech. And we would all clap really loudly, thank you, Karen, as president of the United States. And she would get down. Okay, if my parents ever saw what I did, I would have been in lots of trouble, lots of trouble. But they never found out. So Karen would step down, and Lori would get up there, and she was five. She was nervous. You think it's okay for me to get up on the kitchen table? I mean, this is outrageous. I said, yeah, go ahead, do it. Come on. I'll wipe it down when you're done. Don't worry. Clean it. That was another part of my job. And so she'd get up there and she'd say, you know, well, kids would not have to go to school and they would have summer recess all year round and they could eat anything they want. They wouldn't have to get up early. They wouldn't have to do chores around the house. And basically, they'd be happy. So I thought, yeah, that sounds good. So we gave her a big clap. Yay. Yay, Lori. And she got down. And, you know, those were some of the most wonderful times in my life, actually, because even though I wasn't a birth mother, I didn't give birth to these two children, I loved them tremendously. And Lori and Karen, to me, were fun. We had so much fun together. And sort of being a mother without having to be a mother was a really great experience for me. And at the end, I did leave. I went to SUNY New Paltz and went to Teachers College and spent a year in Paris, came back with a degree. And actually, my sister Karen is a teacher of the year down in Virginia, and my sister Lori has an MBA, and she doesn't sing very much anymore, but she has an MBA. What do you expect? But when I think back about that time, I think it was sort of bittersweet, because when I left for college, I was thinking, well, this is a point in my life when the family will never be together anymore, 5:30 at dinner ever again. And I was just hoping that they knew how much we loved them and that they could be anything they wanted to be and they wouldn't be having to be like me necessarily, but just that they would have experienced unconditional love. And I hope also that they have gotten the chance to have some presidential time on the table. Thank you.